everybody. Glad you guys are here. This is The Valley Outdoors, and we are glad to have you guys hanging out with us. Don is here.
I'm here.
Abe is here.
I'm here, too.
And I am here. I'm Eric, and I'm the host of The Valley Outdoors, and we have got a lot of stuff we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk a little bit about what are the telltale signs of a bad deer camp. How about that, Don?
No deer.
No. Hey, if you're thinking about going to a deer camp or going to a facility, you know, that does deer hunting, that's one thing. We're going to talk about the best walleye lures of 2024 and that a lot more stuff as well. So you know what? You're going to want to hang tight. Wait for that right after these words.
Avid outdoorsmen know that heading to the field without all the advantages, not a good idea. Most importantly, a stable shooting platform. Having the right platform can be critical to success. Field Optics Research is the industry leader, offering the most advanced, lightest, and stable tripods on the market. It's stability you need when that once-in-a-lifetime shot is in your crosshairs. Field Optics, the ultimate tripod for hunting, shooting, long-range precision shooting, spotting scopes, and outdoor photography.
Links to Field Research Optics available on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Good to see you, Don.
Yeah, it's good to be seen always.
Ava?
I'm here. Wow. Ready to go.
You know what it's like. I'm here.
Well, no. So it was the 4th of July last weekend.
Yes, it was. Yes.
So my daughters came out battered and bruised from the weekend. My goodness. Because they're almost two. So
they're running all over, falling down.
Yes. Yeah. Drunken sailors and everything that they do. I mean.
Where'd they learn that?
I did. But we all survived. We're all here. But
all healing up.
Yes, they're fine. Yeah. But
oh, my.
I know.
What'd you do, Don?
I didn't do a whole lot. I mowed the lawn.
We did that, too.
I went fishing.
I did not.
I went to Lake Michigan, and right now the transition from the quote-unquote craziness that the early coho season was, now it's transitioning to more king salmon.
Yep.
And coho, they're still there, and they're growing. It's crazy how big they have gotten since the first trips we went out in May, or even in mid-April.
Yeah.
I was absolutely astounded. And they're absolute eating machines, and they grow to amazing proportions. But, you know, you've got steelhead. What a riot. I mean, and just so you guys know, so going out of the ports that are on the east shore of Wisconsin, we're out north of Milwaukee. And it's nice because the wind is generally not a big deal. You're going to have an occasional east, you know, strong east wind, but not very often. And the early season is transitioned from planer boards and flasher flies, smaller flashers and flies, and it's transitioned now to your bigger flashers, your rotators, which is basically just creates a spinning, like a 3.5 foot circle. It goes around and around, puts an action on a fly, so forth, and you use longer skirts rather than just a little peanut fly,
right,
or which would be a treble hook with tinsel on it. Now it's a lot of double hooks, single rigs, but two hooks on them. They're stacked. And gone to lead, 200 feet of lead. You're going with wire with your dipsies because it makes a different sound that the king salmon like. And you're dropping them down deeper. And so a lot of transition. And you're
are you using the riggers?
using riggers, all four, have those down depending on the group, you know, that you have. And so in the past we were out, we wouldn't turn on a pot of fish. We just keep going. And it was kind of that, well, you've heard the stories where, oh, you're never going to be able to get anything back over them. Well, this last weekend, I said, they're going to change that theory. I want to find out if it's true. But, of course, you can run 15 lines or run 12 or 13. And, you know, four downriggers were in long leads off. Everything was pretty long lead.
Take a big loop, don't you? You
made a nice big loop. Everything was good. Made this pass coming through after you made the first pass. Boom, 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 boom. They're okay. Make another big loop, come back up, and one more loop going in a different spot. Apparently that last loop that we made, either the current pushed everything or whatever, I felt terrible. I think, I don't know, I did about the same radius. Oh, boy.
You have bird's nest, did you?
Yeah, well, Jimmy Outerline wanted to party with Susie on the inside planer board line. And then they got hooked up together with the downrigger line. And let's just say the scissors were employed.
So this little mishap, what kind of time was spent from the time you did that to the time you were fully fishing again?
Oh, we decided that we're at the end of the day, towards the end of the day.
We're calling it.
Time for a beer. It was Miller time.
It would be. I can tell you a quick story. I was out on Isle Royal in Lake Superior, and I was with a captain out of Ashland, Wisconsin, and we'd gone out of way up in the north end, north of Grand Marais there.
Yeah.
And gone over to Isle Royal, and there was a big boat out there. I'm going to guess a 45 to 50 footer, and they had all the downriggers down, and we're over 90 feet of water, and my captain that I'm with, he said, watch this. He said, he doesn't realize if he isn't paying attention, he's coming up on a shelf that comes up to about 20 feet. And all the riggers, you know, all the rods are in the back of the boat. And
they all go at the same time.
And we're out, you know, a quarter mile further out, and all of a sudden they all been, he hooked all the balls from the downriggers on that shelf. He didn't see it coming. He didn't raise them. And, a lot of things are going ping, 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 ping. I don't think those downrigger balls are that inexpensive, are they?
Not if you buy the new ones. The new one,
they're probably cheaper by the dozen, though.
Well, the newer ones, if you're going with the fish weights, which we have,
yeah,
they're $140 a piece.
Yeah, it's cheaper by the dozen, you know. So
oh, boy.
You need to pay attention to your depth.
It's bad.
I witnessed that once. That was interesting.
We actually lost the Fishhawk probe and a rigger weight this weekend.
Oh.
I hit the auto up button on the way up. All of a sudden, it's gone. I look at the end of the cable. It was frayed. We never hit anything and never did anything. It just came apart.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not good. Not good. So it's one of those moments where you're looking at things and you go,
oops,
what just happened? Yeah. Because everything else goes at the same time. And you're like, oh, you don't just lose a Dodger. You lose a Dodger, the fly, the swivels, everything else with it. So, yeah. Well, hang tight. We're going to be right back. More coming up the Valley Outdoors.